Ahaziah did not choose his family. None of us get to choose our family. But Ahaziah made the choice to listen to his family. It's not that he was not innocent in this. He made the choice to do the wrong thing. He could have told them no, but he chose to listen to them. He walked in the way of the house of Ahab. Examine the kings of Israel and Judah. You know, we've all watched someone in our lives make a decision where we sat there thinking, why in the world would they do that? What were they thinking? It may be a friend who's in a relationship that everyone has told them, you know, hey, this is not good. And yet they continue in it. Or it could be somebody who in our family who makes a career choice and we know that's not the right fit for them. And yet they continue to do it. And we've watched someone we care about walk straight into trouble no matter what we say. People who have been influenced by the wrong voices in the world. So today we're going to meet a young king, and he was a very young king. He had everything going for him. But he listened to the wrong people, the wrong person. He listened to all the wrong advice, despite the fact that he had everything that he could ever need. At 22, this king, Ahaziah, took the throne of Jerusalem, took the throne of Judah. He had unlimited potential, unlimited possibilities. But he had one fatal problem. And that fatal problem was he had the wrong people around him. Now, I want you to know that Ahaziah's story is not just a story about ancient politics. It's about something that you and I face every day. We are surrounded by people who, voices around us who are telling us things. Some of them are from this world, but I'll be honest with you, there are some voices that are coming from the spirit realm that are telling us things that are lies, hoping, wanting us to listen to them. Which are we going to choose? When life gets complicated, when we have a decision to make, what voices are we turning to? What voices are we hearing? We hear those different voices pulling us in many different directions. You know, as a parent, I always wonder, what are my kids hearing from me? And many times, they hear more than we say. But who's influencing my children? Who's going to influence my children? As you know, my wife and I, Beth and I, we homeschool. We've been able to control somewhat the voices that our children hear. This year, they're going to be going to it's part of a church, but they're going to be going to a school a couple days a week where we will not be controlling the voices they hear. That's difficult. You may be a parent whose child is getting ready to go to college or thinking about going to college. What are the voices they're going to hear? It's not the environment that is an easy environment to be in as a believer, trust me. But Ahaziah, his reign lasted only 1 year. But the interesting thing is the choices that he made echoed throughout all the generations. The Bible tells us very plainly that his mother advised him to do wickedly. And in this world, we have many counselors, we have many influencers, we have many people who have opinions. But we have to ask this question, who are we listening to? And where are those voices leading us, even as adults? It doesn't change, you know, when you reach 21 and now, you know all the good voices. I'll be honest with you, at 58 years old, I can listen to the wrong voices. So let's open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 8, beginning with verse 25. In the 12th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, began to reign. Now remember, we look at the year that a king comes in based upon the year of the other kingdom's king. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah. We heard of her before. She was the granddaughter of Omri, king of Israel. I thought that was kind of interesting that it says she is the granddaughter of Omri, which means her father was Ahab and her mother was Jezebel. We all know Ahab and Jezebel. We talked about them. It says, he also walked in the way of the house of Ahab and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord as the house of Ahab had done, for he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. He went with Joram, the son of Ahab, to make war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead. And the Syrians wounded Joram. So the Syrians wounded the king of northern kingdom of Israel. And King Joram returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds that the Syrians had given him at Ramah when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. And Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel because he was sick. Now picture this. You have a 22-year-old young man stepping into the nation's most highest office, highest position. The crown is on his head. The armies are at his command. The future of God's hope is in his hands, resting upon his shoulders. Now, in any other story, the first thing that comes to my mind, if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, is the scene at the end of the Rise of the King, the Return of the King, where Aragorn is coming. He's being crowned. And that's the scene you would think would be. The music is playing. It's just a beautiful scene. But there's something that these verses reveal to us is very troubling with Ahaziah. Ahaziah's mother is mentioned, Athaliah, daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, the notorious couple who worshiped Baal, who made Baal worship the in thing to do and actually killed the prophets of God. And it's through marriage that this toxic bloodline of Ahab enters into the southern kingdom of Israel, of Judah, and poisons the bloodline. Here's what we need to understand. Ahaziah did not choose his family. None of us get to choose our family. But Ahaziah made the choice to listen to his family. It's not that he was not innocent in this. He made the choice to do the wrong thing. He could have told them no. But he chose to listen to them. He walked in the way of the house of Ahab. And this wasn't just passive absorption. This wasn't just, I'm just going along a little bit. No, this was more than just drifting. This was actively deciding to do this. The Apostle Paul captures this dynamic perfectly in 1 Corinthians 15:33. He says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Now think about this. Ahaziah, he had access to the wisdom of David, the wisdom of Solomon. He had access to Jehoshaphat, his grandfather's reforms. He had God's covenant promise on his side. But the voices that he chooses to listen to are the ones from his family from the north. from Ahab's group. We've all, I'm sure, at times feel that we've inherited difficult family dynamics where godly wisdom wasn't valued, where compromise is normalized. But the truth is, we do not have to be limited by what we've inherited. We get to choose the voices that we follow. My goal as a parent is to make sure that my kids hear enough of the good voices so they can recognize when there's a bad voice. That's my goal. What is most tragic is what is revealed in 2 Chronicles 22, 3 through 4. It's talking about Ahaziah. It says, he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor in doing wickedly. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as the house of Ahab had done, for after the death of his father, they were his counselors and his to his undoing. Now let that sink in for a moment. His mother, who should have been his, she should have been his guardian, his one who guards, she should have guarded his guidance, should have given him godly guidance. She became the very one that caused him to do wickedly. She wasn't just passively enabling herself. She didn't just ignore what he did. She actually told him to do wickedly. It'd be like a parent having a small child and saying, throw a temper tantrum. Go ahead, go steal from the grocery store. It's okay. It's not. That's not good. Aiden, don't do that. He knows better. That's what it was like. She was actively advising him to act in wicked ways. See, proximity does not guarantee godly influence. Those we have closest to us do not guarantee that they're going to give us godly advice, whether it's through blood or whether it's through marriage or friendship or professional relationship. It doesn't mean that good counsel is going to come from those that are closest to us. Solomon understood this when he wrote in Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Now, you'll start recognizing a lot of these verses. Every single king we talk about, these verses come back again and again. What Solomon reveals is that we become like those we spend time with. We do. Ahaziah surrounded him with counselors from the house of Ahab, people whose spiritual compass pointed away from God instead of toward God. And Scripture tells us plainly that these advisors led to his undoing. And again, I want you to understand, I'm not telling you that we have to separate ourselves from the world. No, we need to be in the world, just not of the world. We need to be out there having a spiritual influence. We need to be that one person who has all these people around him who are like telling them things that are ungodly. We need to be that one friend that says, listen, this is what the Bible says we should do. This is what God wants you to do. We need to be that spiritual influence in the world that's hurting and dying and seeking. It's not that we have to separate ourselves and not have anything to do with the world. We need to be in it. We just don't need to be of it. What's truly sad about Ahaziah's story is that godly counsel was available. The temple was still in Jerusalem. The priests were there. Elijah was still speaking for God. He could have sought him out. But instead, Ahaziah chooses to listen to the voices that told him to do wickedly and move away from God. But see, that's the power of proximity. Those that are closest to you have the most power over you. Think about it. Who are the voices you hear most often? Your spouse? Your parents? Your closest friends? What are they telling you? This is one of the reasons why I'm a very strong proponent a proponent of the fact that the husband needs to be the spiritual leader in the home. I need to set the spiritual temperature of my home. I have to. And I have to do it with fear and trembling, knowing that it's going to have a huge influence on the future of my children. And believe me, I don't always do it right. But by the grace of God, I'm going to get it right most of the time. The people who are closest to us are shaping the direction of our life, whether we realize it or not. Jesus warned us about this. In Matthew 10:37, he says, "Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me." That sounds extremely harsh. But see, what Jesus is telling us, he's trying to protect us from what Ahaziah experienced. If Ahaziah loved his mother more than he loved God, he listened to his mother more than he listened to God. And Jesus says, "Hey, you're not worthy of me." There's a cost to who we listen to. 2 Chronicles 22:5-6 says, "He even followed their counsel and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to make war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead. And the Syrians wounded Joram." This is one of the reasons, just so I want to make this clear again. You need to read 1 and 2 Kings, but you also have to read 1 and 2 Chronicles, because it gives... They play off of each other. First and Second Kings is more succinct. Chronicles gives a little more detail. "And he returned," Ramoth-Gilead, "and the Syrians wounded Joram, and he returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds that he had received at Ramah. And when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria, and Ahaziah, the son of Joram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, the son of Ahab in Jezreel, because he was wounded." And here's what we see, this progression of bad counsel. At the advice of his mother and his family, Ahaziah is told to ally with his uncle, to go off and to fight Hazael of Aram at Ramoth-Gilead. Now, on the surface, this might seem like a good political idea. I mean, Hazael had been tormenting both of the nations. And this is family. I mean, are we not supposed to support family? Why not join forces? But it's that kind of reasoning that sounds logical. It may sound logical in the throne room. It may sound logical in the boardroom or around the dinner table. But this is what makes it tragic. It wasn't just a military strategy. This was a spiritual compromise that was dressed as family loyalty. He wasn't just joining an army. Ahaziah wasn't just joining his army with the king of Israel, with his uncle. He was yoking himself to a kingdom that had progressively and totally turned from God, was completely on a different path than they were supposed to be. For generations they had done this. And interesting is, Ramoth-Gilead was not just any ordinary battlefield. This was the very place where Ahab was killed. The place where he died because he refused to listen to the prophet of God. And this is the irony. The family of Ahab did not learn anything from the death of Ahab. Because what did they do? They sent their own relative to the very place where their Ahab had been killed because of his unfaithfulness. And that rebellion, that listening to the wrong voice, is going to cost Ahaziah his life. It's truly a tragedy. Paul's warning in 2 Corinthians 6:14 cuts right to the heart of the dilemma that Ahaziah finds himself in. He says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? And what fellowship has light with darkness?" You know, sometimes the most dangerous allegiances we have are not those that are our friends. It's our family. It truly is. So look what happens. The battle doesn't quite go like they expected it to. Joram, the king of Israel, gets wounded and has to retreat. Now, I don't know about you, but my first thought, if the king of Israel is wounded, that this may not have been blessed by God. Maybe this wasn't such a good idea. Maybe we shouldn't have allied ourselves with this king. Because God did not bless it, for certain, because they lost. But what does Ahaziah do? He goes to Jezreel to visit Joram. And again, that seems like a good thing. It's his uncle. Should he not go and visit his uncle? But see, God is not blessing this alliance. Ahaziah doubles down on his commitment to his wounded uncle. And this is what happens when we value being agreeable over being obedient. Sometimes in our lives, whether it's family, work, church, we're pressured to go along with decisions that we know in our hearts aren't right. We tell ourselves we're being loyal, but we're actually being disobedient to God. And this is happening a lot in the church, especially today, with a lot of the pastors who are failing. Just, if you want to look into something like this, look at what's going on at IHOP, not the restaurant, the International House of Prayer in St. Louis. A pastor who was downright evil is now trying to be restored, and he should not be restored. He has not repented. He has not changed. He's not gone through counseling. And yet there are people who are saying, no, no, this is what we need to do. We need to restore him. Sometimes the pressure gets too much. We tell ourselves we're being loyal, but we're actually being disobedient to God. We see what happens here in 2 Chronicles 22:7. But it was ordained by God that the downfall of Ahaziah should come about through his going to visit Joram. For when he came there, he went out with Jehoram to meet Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to destroy the house of Ahab. What had seemed honorable, going and visiting his family, became the instrument for his own destruction. He is right in the path of Jehu's coup. Jehu was ordained by God to finally destroy all of the house of Ahab. Because remember, Ahab had been told this was going to happen. Your family is going to be destroyed, but it will not happen in your lifetime because he repented. But it will happen. And so now God is fulfilling that promise, and Ahaziah is caught in the middle of it. Wrong voices don't just lead to bad decision. They can also lead to devastating consequences. The beautiful thing that Scripture has for us is it doesn't just show us what not to do. It actually shows us the right way. And if we go to Psalm 1, 1 through 3, it paints the picture of a blessed person, and it's exactly the opposite of what Ahaziah did. Look what it says. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." See, instead of walking in the way of the wicked, or instead of standing in the way of sinners, instead of sitting at the seat of scoffers, the blessed person delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. What's the law of the Lord? This. Do you meditate on it? Do you read it and think about it day and night? Do you tune your heart to God's voice? Because that's what this does. When you read God's word, it tunes your heart so you can hear and understand. Now, I'm not saying you're going to hear God say things to you, but you're going to know That when God is trying to influence in you, you're going to know because you know his word. You know that God would never tell you anything to do that's against his word. It's kind of like, it's similar to, you know, if you're an electrician, you know, first of all, to turn off the breaker before you touch the electrical wires. And even if you don't do that, you know not to take the white blow wire and the black wire and put them together. I know that because I've done that. Not on purpose. There's a screwdriver I don't have anymore because of that, but we know. Why? Because we've been trained. We know God's word. Notice the progression here in the psalm. Walking, standing, sitting. It starts when we're walking in bad counsel. We're not necessarily doing what they want, but we're kind of walking and we're kind of listening to them. Then we progress to standing in the way of sinners. We're where sinning is happening. And we might kind of just kind of, I'm not going to sin, but I'm not going to tell them not to. And before we know it, we're sitting in the seat of scoffers. And we look at ourselves like, when did this happen? That's what happened to Ahaziah. He walked in his family's counsel. He stood with them in ungodly alliances. And he finds himself sitting in the company of those who mocked God, his very uncle. But see, what's the alternative? The alternative is beautiful. When we choose God's ways over family pressure, we seek biblical counsel over worldly wisdom. When we prioritize our eternal relationship over our temporary alliances, we become like a tree planted by streams of water. We prosper in whatever we do. This is something that always hits me, and this is one of my favorite verses, and I use it as much as I can, think about it all times. Joshua, he was declaring to the people of Israel in Joshua 24:15, he says, "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." See, Joshua understood that true family loyalty means leading your family in godly ways. Leading your family toward God, not following them as they walk away from him. Sometimes the most loving thing we can do for our family is to refuse to go along with what they want to do. And refuse to listen to their ungodly counsel. When we stand firm on our convictions, when we're not being disloyal, we're being faithful to God who loves our families. He loves them even more than we do. Now you might be thinking this is all well and good, but what about those who've already listened to the wrong voices? What about those that are on the path of destruction? What about those who've made the same mistake that Ahaziah made and listened to the wrong voices in their lives? Is there hope for us? And here's what the gospel breaks into Ahaziah's story with breathtaking hope. Where Ahaziah failed to listen to his heavenly Father's voice, Jesus succeeded perfectly. Throughout his ministry, Jesus demonstrated what it looks like to listen exclusively to the Father's counsel. In John 5:19, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." Jesus was the perfect listener. He was the perfect counselee. You know, I've counseled people. It's frustrating sometimes to be a counselor because you talk to them and you say, this is what I see. Here's what I'd like to see you do over the next week. And they come back the next week. Did you do it? No. I've sat with couples for marriage counseling, for premarital counseling. You know, couples who are so much in love. And what do? I tell them, this is what I want you to do. I want you to sit down. I want you to write these things out of why you love the other one. And they come back the next week. Did you do it? No. Really? But Jesus, he was the perfect listener, the perfect counselee. He followed and did everything that the Father told him to do. Even when the religious leaders tried to pressure him to compromise. Even when the people tried to pressure him, Jesus remained faithful to his Father's counsel. Remember, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he do? He prayed, "Not my will, but yours." He says, "Father, take this cup from me. I don't want to do this," is basically what he's saying. "I don't want to die." But he says, "You know what, Lord? Your will, not mine." And here's the beautiful truth. Jesus' perfect listening becomes your, as in mine, righteousness. When we trust in Jesus Christ, God doesn't see our past. He doesn't see all the people that we've listened to in the past. He doesn't see all of that garbage of all the bad past and bad decisions we've made. What does he see? He sees Jesus' perfect obedience. The righteousness of the perfect listener is credited into our account. I'm an accountant, so I'm all about debits and credits. You know, our lives are full of credits where we owe stuff. We owe God because of all the things we've done. And in my other column, my debits, my good things, my assets, there's one thing: Jesus. That's it. And that's all there has to be. But it's more than that, even. He doesn't just forgive us for listening to the wrong voices. He becomes the right voice in our lives. Jesus says in John 10:27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I know them. Jesus knows all the things you've done. Jesus knows all the thoughts you've had. Doesn't surprise him. But he still calls you, and you hear his voice, and you follow him. That same Jesus who perfectly listened to the Father, he now speaks to us through his word, through his spirit, and through his people. That means that no matter how many wrong voices we followed in the past, no matter how many bad decisions we've made, however many bad things we've done, there's hope. The perfect listener invites us to start listening to his voice instead of all the voices of this world. So how do we do this? I mean, that's great, but how does this work? How do we practically apply Ahaziah's story to our lives today? Let me give you some essential steps. First of all, you need to evaluate your current influences. Who's influencing your life today? Take an honest inventory of who's in your life. And I'll be honest with you. I don't think that God's going to call us to, you know, somebody's been giving us bad advice. We're going to go and say, "You're a sinner. Get out of my life." No, you're going to explain and listen. I appreciate what you're trying to do, but I'm not so sure you've been giving me good advice. Let me give you some good advice. Have you read the Bible lately? Have you prayed? Are you listening to God? And if they walk away from you angry, then chances are they need to be out of your life. But whose opinions carry the most weight in your decision-making? Whose approval do you crave? Whose approval, disapproval do you fear? Those are the voices that are shaping your life. Ask yourself, do they point me towards God or do they point me away from him? Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy." Now I want you to think about that. He says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. When a friend tells us the truth, that hurts. But that's good. Because when an enemy kisses you, that's not good. They're too close. So evaluate your current influencers. Actively seek godly counsel. Proverbs 15:22 tells us, without counsel, plans fail. But with many advisors, they succeed. Look for people who love Christ, and actually, they love Christ more than they love your approval. If you seek people who are seeking your approval, they're not going to tell you the truth. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. Seek those people who love Christ over your approval. And the ones that know God's word and demonstrate godly wisdom in their own lives, if they can't apply godly wisdom to their own life, they're not going to be good advisors for you on how to apply it to your life. Especially make sure that they will pray with you about what's going on. I have a client who's not in this area at all. She knows I'm a pastor. She's dealing with some difficult things in the business right now. And I'm like, okay, I got to pray for you. And I prayed with her over the phone. I'm not saying I always have good counsel, believe me. I'm just saying that that instance, that's my first thought was, I need to pray with you. Don't just hope for good counsel. You need to pursue it. We need to prioritize God's word daily. This is the most important thing. This voice here is the most important voice we need to be listening to. There is a huge deficit in the church today of people who do not know their Bible. And if you do not know your Bible, how are you going to know when somebody tells you something that's false? And believe me, there's all kinds of new Bibles going on out there. You may have heard of the Passion Translation. It's not a translation, and it's not a good Bible. There's another Bible called the Mirror Bible. Don't even try to find it. It's ridiculous. It is wrong. You apply it. You look at it according to what the ESV and what the King James and what the Greek says. It's completely off. How would you know that, though? And that's why many churches are being deceived today, because they're bringing in versions and things that are not according to what God's word says. We must prioritize. Ahaziah had access to the scriptures. He had the scriptures in his proximity. He could have gone to the temple and said, what does God say? And instead, he listened to his family. Don't make that mistake. So make time daily for God's word and make it non-negotiable. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If you don't have a light, you're going to stumble. Learn to say no with love is number four. Sometimes love means disappointing those around you. You learn that as a parent, right? Sometimes you've got to tell your kids no. A parent who tells their kids yes all the time is going to have a problem. Practice saying, I love you, but I can't participate in that. Not just to your children, but to your friends too. I need to follow what I believe God is telling me. You're responsible for your obedience to God. Each of us will answer for everything we've done and everything we've said. I'm not saying it's a salvation issue. If you believe in Christ, I believe if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he died and he rose again and you're following him, but you're struggling, you know, there are things we're going to have to answer. He's going to say, this is what you've done. You've had to answer for it, but it's not a salvation issue. Paul says we will answer for every word we say. But understand, it's not what others think of us. It's what God wants from us. And as you grow, become that godly voice to those around you. That one voice that you wish that you had from them, be the one that gives it to them. The bottom line is choose your counselors as carefully as you choose a surgeon. Those of you who've had surgery, you know, you don't go for the cheapest one. Who's done this before? How many have they done? I mean, these are things we should be asking. It's funny, when we go to buy a new car, we look at all the information on the car, we look for the ratings of the car, but a lot of times we choose our doctors and say, oh, that's who we're supposed to go to. We should check our doctors too. Ahaziah's story is very sobering. It's a warning, but it's also a helpful invitation. The warning is clear. Listening to the wrong voices will cost you everything you have. Just as it costs this young king his life, it's going to cost us everything if we listen to the wrong voices. It cost him his throne. It cost him his legacy. But the invitation is equally powerful. We do not have to repeat that mistake. Jesus stands as the perfect counselor, the wonderful counselor promised in Isaiah 9:6. His voice never will lead us astray, never will encourage us to sin, never do anything that's against God's word. He never promises what he can't deliver. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Believe me, your friends ultimately may leave you and forsake you. His voice leads to life. It leads to blessing. It leads to hope. The question that Ahaziah gives us is both simple and profound. When the voices of the world call us to go away from God, are we going to listen to them, or are we going to choose to follow God? Now, this means we may have to have some very difficult conversations with those even in our own families. There may be relationships that we need to end. Still others, we need to start seeking godly mentors. That's going to take some work, who will speak the truth in the life. But we all need to decide, will you commit today to tuning your heart to Jesus Christ, to listen to his counsel above all others? Are you choosing godly counsel even when it's difficult? And it's going to be. Are you going to have the will and the courage to say no to ungodly pressure? And these are the things, talking to our kids, you're going to have to say no. You're going to have to be willing and able to say no, even if it comes from somebody who you love. Who you listen to determines where you go. The voices you choose today shape your trajectory for tomorrow, your relationships, your character, and your destiny. See, the choice is ours. The choice is ours. But that choice doesn't just determine what my next step is. That choice determines my destination. Where am I going? Am I choosing godly wisdom over earthly foolishness? Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that you give us your voice. You give us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. Lord, help us to listen to the right voices. But beyond that, Father, help us to be godly voices to those around us. And in order to do that, Father, we need to be following you. We need to be in your word. We need to be listening to you. So help us to do that. Help us to walk in your ways, not in the ways of this world. We will find that our lives, while they may not be easy, because there will be those who make our lives difficult because of it, but we will be a blessing to those who know the truth. And we'll be a blessing to God who gives us the truth. Help us to walk in your ways always, Lord. Pray this by your grace and in your name. Amen. Go in peace.